because it's Philippians 1 and it's verses 12 to 30. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, and supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have.
Well, how's your week been? That's a pretty straightforward question, isn't it? A question that we get asked a fair bit, and no doubt this morning you may already have been asked that question. It's one I often don't know how to answer. I might say, good, okay, busy. Sometimes my mind just goes blank. Like, how do you sum up everything that's happened in your week in a few words? And does the person really care, or is it just a way to just say, hello, how are you? So how was your week? Does your mind turn to the highlights, the good things, or the hard things, the struggles in your week? Maybe it was a week of sickness in your house, or a week of lots of overtime at work. Maybe you caught up with a friend, someone who you hadn't seen for a while. Or it was just a normal week, just another week running after the kids, work, eat, sleep, work, eat, sleep, just day by day doing that, and before you know it, another week's gone by. How is your week? How do you reckon Paul would answer that question? Not now, his last 7 days, but going back nearly 2,000 years. He wrote this letter. He's probably in prison. But he doesn't complain, does he? He's in prison. He doesn't complain. In fact, he's able to rejoice. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? He's locked up. He's in prison. And yet still, he's able to rejoice. So have a look with me. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 says there, "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters in Christ, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel." So the gospel keeps advancing. So because of that, he's able to rejoice. He's in prison, and in prison it's become known to everyone else who's in prison why he's there, for preaching Christ. They come to hear that news as well. Outside of prison, everywhere else, believers are now speaking the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. So the gospel is going forth, it's being made known. Verse 18 says, the gospel is being preached, and so Paul rejoices. So this gets me asking two questions. First, when I look at our local area, how is the gospel going forth? How is it advancing? Is it? It's being preached in churches, I hope, like this one and other churches around us, of a Sunday, but also in kids groups and youth groups and things like that. In classrooms. Great that in classrooms, in scripture, every week, so many kids are hearing the good news about Jesus. And in high schools, in lunchtime groups, Christian groups, in life groups, in Bible study groups, in our homes. And in your home, in families, as they just get together and do life, and kids are being raised to know Jesus. By door knocking. Derek and Owen, I know some of you have actually seen them these last few weeks, going out, knocking on some doors. And maybe just everyday conversations. As we talk to people and talk about our faith and God, the gospel is going forth. How else is it going forth? There are other ways that you know it is, and you could add to that list. The second question that it gets me to ask is, just what is the gospel? Now, Paul says it is advancing, but what is the gospel? How would you complete this line? The gospel is dot, dot, dot. What would you say? The gospel is the good news of salvation. The gospel is the message of God's love that he sent his son to die for us. Or the gospel is the good news that Jesus died and rose again for sinners. The gospel is, how would you complete that line? What is the gospel? Did you know the gospel was first announced to Abraham? I was reading Galatians the other day, saw there in chapter 3, verse 8, it says, the scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So it quotes there from Genesis 12:3 that the blessing will come to all the nations. God is going to bless all peoples through Abraham, through his seed, through one who will come, that one being the Lord Jesus Christ. We can say that the gospel is the message of Christ. Back to Philippians, verse 13, it says that Paul is in chains for Christ. And then in verses 15, 17 and 18, it speaks of preaching Christ. And down in verse 27, it speaks there of the gospel of Christ. So the gospel is the message of Christ, the good news of Jesus. Have a look what Paul says in verse 21. Paul says there, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Just think about those words. Feel the weight of those words and what Paul is saying. To be able to say that, to live is Christ, to die is gain, is amazing. For Paul, life is all about the gospel. It is all about Christ. Which gets me asking another question. Is this, just because this is Paul, Paul is the apostle. Paul's the one who had the remarkable encounter with the risen Jesus. He is given that commission to take the gospel to the nations. Paul is unique. We are not. So is this just Paul? Well, have a think. Our purpose number one that we're giving thought to, I reckon Paul would have no trouble saying amen to this. Connecting people to Jesus, his church, and each other. Absolutely. Paul's going to agree with that. I think all three of our purposes, Paul would agree, no worries. And when you look at the other words that follow this purpose, you see here that we see a church full of hearts, so desperately broken for the lost, so confident in the power of the gospel, and so thoroughly eager to build up his church that the good news of Jesus is always on our lips and the love of God clearly seen in our actions. And that's true for Paul, isn't it? I reckon he would want that for the Philippians and for us. I reckon Paul, hearing that this is what we want as a church, he would be cheering. He would be saying, yes, Life Anglican Church, that's great. Go for it. That this is what we want to see. The gospel going out and being lived. Where people are being loved here in the church, but also out in the community as well. Now back to Philippians, verse 26, he speaks there of their joy in Christ Jesus overflowing. That's what we want, isn't it? That our joy in Christ would overflow. That church wouldn't just be something that we come to of a Sunday morning, but who we are in Christ and the joy that we have in that is something that gets us going all of the week. The joy overflowing. And then verse 27, he says, whatever happens, or the hard words to translate there, or this one thing, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Don Carson sums it up in this way. Conduct worthy of the gospel is above all conduct that promotes the gospel. And then keep looking at what it is that he wants for them. Verse 27, that they may stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man, or with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. And then look at verse 29. For it has been granted to you, right? It's been given to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. Suffering for being a Christian. Paul knows what that's all about. He's in prison for exactly that reason. I wonder if that's something we're happy to have. Suffering for the gospel, for being a Christian. Are we happy that belief, that has been granted to us? That's belief and suffering for the gospel. Now all of this here, as Paul speaks these words to the Philippians, very much sounds like the believer's life is to be that the gospel life. That this is not just a Paul thing, but this is a believer's thing. This gospel life that Paul speaks about is not just for him, but it's what he wants for all believers. Living the gospel life where Christ is our life. Not just part of our life, but that he is our life. And we're saying our purpose, we want to see other people connected to Jesus. How is it that Paul saw people? I reckon he saw them either that they've got Christ or they need Christ. Is that how I see people? Is that how you see people? That they've got Christ or they need Christ? Connecting people to Jesus, his church, and each other. As we think about this, there's a few things that go along with it. So firstly, making disciples, seeing people become Christians. So if we go on to the next slide. So thinking about this, connecting people with Jesus it's evangelism. It's the E word. All right, making disciples. But then there's also welcoming. When we think about connecting people to his church and each other, then we're looking at welcoming and people being integrated into a community of believers, which takes us to then fellowship. Connecting people with Jesus, his church, and each other. We have these three things, if you like, evangelism, welcoming, fellowship. Now, as a church, I reckon we do pretty well on two out of three of these. I reckon we do pretty well on the welcoming and the fellowship. There is a great sense of community here, which is what so many people love about coming here, is the people, one another, being connected to his church and each other. Laura and her team, I think they do a great job greeting and welcoming, helping people to feel welcome and part of the church here. But it's not just them. It's everyone taking a real and genuine interest in everyone who is here. Whether that person is here for the first time or the 100th time, that doesn't matter. Being connected in with other people. That's what we want. Not just because we want to be nice. Like, we do want to be nice, but that's not what it's all about. Our purpose is connecting people to Jesus, his church, and each other. So that is why we do it. That is why we want to be welcoming. So that people can feel part of the church, can relate with one another, and then that this can help us as we connect with Jesus, as we cultivate our faith, and as we celebrate life with Jesus together. That is what we want. So I think we're doing okay there, but the evangelism, I'd love us to be seeing more people become Christians. We've seen some, but not many. It'd be great to see a whole lot more. I'd love us to see people like Paul does, that they either need Christ or they've got Christ. Wouldn't it be great this year to see some more baptisms in the wave pool where people have come to faith and then they want to make that known to other people that they've come to see who Jesus is, they've put their faith in him, and then they want others to know about that as well. That's my hero goal, if you like. You might have received one of those vision booklets last week. You might have had a little read through that. You might have seen a whole lot of figures and percentages and things there. That may or may not be your thing, and that's okay. If there was one thing that I really want to see for us as a church, one hero goal, if you like, it is that we would see more baptisms in the wave pool. Because that means people are coming to faith in Christ and they're wanting to make that known to other people. To me, that would be fantastic if that was to happen here. It's not going to just happen though, is it? Well, God can do whatever he likes and of course, yeah, he can make it happen. But he uses us. And we might think, well, How are we going to do this? And we might be reluctant and feel very weak when it comes to this. But God chooses to use us in his gospel advancing and going out to others. But it's not going to happen like just by our words or what we say or what we do. Any change in someone's life, we've got to be a praying people that God would reveal himself to them and bring about this change in their life. So may we want it, and may we be praying to God that this indeed would happen. Over these next 12 months, I'd love us as a church, as individuals and families, to see these four things. So first one, that more of us would be praying for people to become Christians. I'd love that if that was true. Over these next 12 months, that we could say that, yeah, more of us are praying for people to become Christians. And then that some of us, or some of these people that we're praying for, are baptized, because they've come to faith. So it'd be great to see people being baptized because they've become Christians. Third thing, it'd be great if we could all talk to someone about our faith. And then lastly, that we could all invite someone to church. What do you think? Over the next 12 months, which one of these, or two, three, or four of these could you do? If we're going to do these things, then we're going to have to want it, and we're going to have to be intentional. So I've got an action for us. So you'll see at the bottom of the outline here, there's a little action box. So for each of these purposes that we look at for the next few weeks, I'm going to have an action box and want us to commit to something. So the thing that I would like us to commit to today is for each of us to be praying by name for three people and to do that regularly. Three people or three groups of people. That's something we can all do, isn't it? Be praying for people who need Christ. I've got some cards to help us in this. So Daniel and Emma, do you want to come out and hand these cards out? Grab one of these cards, have a look at it, hoping that this is a way that can help us to do this. So you'll see on the front what it is that we want to do, sharing the life of Jesus with the world. And then on the back, connecting people to Jesus. This year, I commit to praying every day for. Every day would be great. Three times a week would be great. Whatever it is, praying regularly for these people. And it gives some suggestions here. So maybe someone in your family, maybe your friend, maybe your neighbour, and maybe other. Have a think. What names could you pop on this card and be praying for, and to do so regularly? Maybe this is something you could do yourself. Maybe you can do this as a family, and maybe share it in your life group as well, so that together we are praying for other people. Is this something you can commit to? Can you maybe right now write some names down or take it home and think about it? So it could be family, it could be friends, it could be next door neighbours, it could be people that you've met, the playtime group, from work, someone in your taekwondo class, I don't know what you do, someone, your child's friends, family, whatever it is, the people that you already see, they don't know Jesus. Are you praying for them? Now, if we all did this, we'd be praying regularly for 200-300 people. And then imagine what God could do if we are praying for these people. Just take 30 seconds now, maybe jot down some names, and then maybe pray for them. And then Laura is going to come up and pray. And then we're going to hear some stories of how some of you are working at this and are connecting people with Jesus, his church, and each other. So take a moment, pray, and then we'll keep praying. Why do we want to do this? Because there's nothing more important than knowing God. Because of God's grace, we have come to know God, and we want other people to be restored that relationship with God. I want to invite Valerie and Derek and Christy up, and they're just going to share with us a little bit. So I'm going to ask them a couple of questions. We can just think a little bit more about connecting people to Jesus, his church, and each other. So thank you all for coming up and sharing. Don't go too far, Valerie, because it's going to start with you. So Valerie, it's about a year since you first came here, just over a year when you first came. And then you moved into the area, I think it was July last year. Can you just share with us a little bit about what it is like to be the new person at church? So thinking not only this church, but I know that any church, what was it like being the new person in church?
Okay, so we visited a few churches. I think the hardest part is not the walking in, it's when the church dissolves around you after the last song. That's a very scary feeling, I think, because now you've got to actually find someone to talk to, or you might look a bit weird standing by yourself, and then you don't want to be over-eager either, I think, if you go and approach someone. So I remember one instance, not this church, but after a few weeks of visiting churches and the church dissolving around you after the last song, I decided, right, that's it. I'm just going to walk up to these people and say, I'm new. And I did. And then they said, here, have something to eat. And by the time I went to get something to eat and came back, they closed ranks. So I couldn't get in again. And I gave up and I went home. So I think that for us, or for me particularly, was hard, the after the church.
So is there something you want to share that would be helpful in thinking about how we can help people who are new?
Yes, so in this church, I think it was a family decision, largely, I think, influenced by the way the children felt. And so it wasn't so much that, you know, having a fantastic children's program, but I think people remembered the kids' names, and after church, the teachers continued chatting with them. So that helped them feel like they weren't part of a program, but probably part of a group. The other thing that I found helped was the cross-section talking. There were a few people that actually moved from that section to talk to us, or from that section to talk to us after church. That's really helpful because you kind of feel like there are people that are approaching you rather than you feeling like you've now got to go and, you know, get into a group. People invited us over for lunch. Laura remembered our names the second week that we came. And a couple of people also finding out about what we did during the week and asking if we wanted to be a part of a life group.
All right. Thank you. So I might turn to Christy and Jacob, who have been with us a little bit longer.
2 years.
So can you tell us how you first came to be part of church here and how you found out and came along?
Yeah, so we moved to the area about 2 years ago. Not Jacob, me and Matt. We were sort of researching churches we might want to go to, and we were keen to join a church. And it wasn't until we got a letter in the post from Steve telling us about this church and that it was meeting in the Leisure Centre, that we thought, oh, that might be one we'd like to go along to.
So tell everyone a little bit about the letter and now what you are doing with this letter yourself.
Okay. It's just a letter in the post, just saying, you know, dear resident and our address on the front. And it just, I guess, introduced the church community was here.
So why did you get it? Why was you receiving a letter?
Well, I now know it was because we were new to the area and our address had come up on like realestate.com or something like that as a sold property. So that's why we end up getting the letter. So obviously now I'm involved in sending out those letters. I go on websites such as realestate.com and those sorts of, and look for all the sold properties in the area over the last few months. And once a month I'll send a letter out that Steve's written, inviting people to church, inviting them to be part of our community. And if there's any special services going on, like Easter or Christmas, we put that flyer in there. And we also put in the community, the church flyer, that has your community written on the front of it. And we send them out once a month.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. And Derek. Just the last few weeks, you and Owen have been hitting the streets and knocking on some doors, which isn't what everyone likes to do. But tell us a little bit about your experience, what you found, what's been good about it.
Well, I think it's been good because we've been to about 42 homes average over the last 5 weeks. And of those, I think 57% were not there, but there were 24% that were there. So we're able to speak with people. We're sharing with them the brochure about the church, but also trying to get out Luke's Gospels, the little ones that come out with this vision thing. And that's been very helpful. The first week we went, we came across a guy who'd just had a big operation, and he'd felt that God had helped him. It just came about by chance that he was diagnosed and had the operation, otherwise he'd be dead. Anyway, he and his family were interested, and they'd been to a church, but had stopped going. His two sons are at university, and they were very keen to talk about this. We went back the next week and spoke to the son. They invited us in and gave us something to drink, and we were able to share the gospel and leave the gospel, Luke's gospel with him. And then roughly we've been to about 17 good conversations in 5 weeks. We've shared the gospel with Buddhists, Muslims, Hindus, Sikhs, as well as Anglos. Most of the people that were at home were actually more Anglos than anybody else. There was quite a few Indians and Sri Lankans, and then people from other countries, one or two from Egypt, two Sikhs and various other ones. So we've been very encouraged, particularly last week, we only were able to get to 28 homes in the 2 hours plus, because we had good conversations with 10 people. So that was 1 in 3, it was a good average. And that included people who didn't know much about Christianity, and we encouraged them to take Luke's gospel and say, you know, you're living in Australia, you need to learn something about Jesus, and he has his life, why don't you read it? They said they would, whether they will or not, I don't know. But I think the important thing is to get out there and share the gospel with them, because it's a great commission, tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, for many years, we've had to go out overseas to reach all nations, but God's brought them here to Australia, and they're living in our neighbourhood. So we should be going out and reaching them. Now, we can't all do that. I'm retired, so I can do that. But it's also helpful if you just share with your neighbours and make a goal of trying to speak to someone in your street and pray that God will open opportunities. And as we've prayed and other people have prayed about the outreach, God has allowed that to happen. So we're very grateful.
Great. So we're not saying everyone needs to be door knocking, but if all of us could be thinking about people who need to hear the gospel, maybe it's your next door neighbour, maybe it's the person you work with, and it mightn't even be inviting them to this church. They might live miles away, but the important thing is that they hear the gospel. So let's be prayerful and let's be thinking about what it means for us as a church and as individuals and families for connecting people to Jesus, to his church, and each other. Thanks for sharing.